Very good. So I hope you all had a good rest last night and a nice breakfast. I saw a couple of people coming in. So last night I was just giving a general idea of meditation rather than any specifics. So now on the morning talks I'll go into much more detail about how to meditate, what to focus on, what to be aware of, and how to very gently lead the mind into stillness and the great energy and mindfulness and insights which come when the mind becomes still. And I did go through one of the most important parts, which is comfort of your body. And I'll emphasize that again for the first couple of minutes here. When I meditate, that if my body is not comfortable, I notice restlessness comes up. All it really is, restlessness, is trying to escape from the aches and the pains, the tiredness of a body, which should be given some attention. And quite often when I meditate, because I do live quite a busy life these days, I just focus on some of the aches and pains in the muscles of my body, just to allow my mind to settle on that first of all. And again, adding the kindness, because a combination of mindfulness and kindness relaxes everything. So if it's like an ache in my legs, because I've been busy walking up and down these hills, that I just focus on that sensation, and you don't try to get rid of it. Now that's negativity, that's ill will, that's the second hindrance in meditation, trying to get rid of things. The kindness is opening the door of your heart to those feelings, letting them be, respecting them, giving them space. And when you actually allow these things to be, when you are kind to them, they tend to disappear, they relax. Kindness is the great healer. And so often I just was teaching some meditation last Monday and Tuesday in Melbourne. And there I was just saying, just a lot of people my age. And so when I started talking about my mother, who whenever I would hurt myself, usually playing soccer in the street, and when I went to her crying with blood dripping down my legs because I scraped some skin off my knee, I was always doing that, boys being boys, she would kneel down and kiss it better, she would say. And many of the people sort of at that little seminar also laughed and said, yeah, my mother used to say the same thing, I'll kiss it better. And so what she would do, she would kneel down and she put her mouth full of germs on the open wound of her kid. Did it ever get infected? Never once. Did the pain go away? Every time. And it was just what you'd learned how to do. You know, knew nothing about biology or medicine, but you know, when I hurt, run to your mum, crying, she would kiss it better, and then the next minute you put a plaster on there and then back playing soccer again. You know, 1 minute later, as if nothing had happened. But I remember that, just the power of kindness to take away pain, to relax everything. And that's precisely what I do when I start meditating. Now you feel an ache here, a pain there, I'm aware of it. I use my mindfulness, however much mindfulness I have got. I'll be talking later about these different levels of mindfulness. The basic, everyday, common or garden mindfulness, enough to be aware of a feeling, give it kindness and relax it. And then I find when my body is relaxed, you don't get so restless. You don't go thinking of past and future or fantasizing or dreaming. And the reason is because all of those hindrances, those thinking and stuff, is all an escape from the pain of this present moment. That's all it really is. So if you can make this present moment, even physically, comfortable, you'll find it's so easy to stay here, and you don't go wandering off. So I'll emphasize again, first stage of meditation, kindfulness on your body. And I do that at least 5 minutes every meditation, just to get my body really, really relaxed. I don't just sit here, yeah, everything's in the right place, now I'm going to watch the breath. No way. I used to do that years ago. I've seen many other people doing that. Try and get into the breath as soon as possible, or even get into nimittas as soon as possible. You can't go any further. Your foundation was not strong enough. Taking time at the beginning makes the middle and the later part of meditation very easy and also very fast. So relax the body first of all. And only when my body feels relaxed that I can let it go. Now I can just leave my body aside, and now I'm going to do exactly the same process, not to my body, but to my mental world. Once I learn how to relax the body, then I can learn how to relax the mind and bring it to stillness. If your body is not relaxed, so if your mind is not relaxed, of course it's not going to be still at all. It's have no peace. You've got to relax everything first of all. So just that simple idea of relaxing the body, which you know, you sort of know how to do, but I'm asking you to do it more thoroughly. Relaxing the body first of all, you take exactly the same technique and you apply it not to your body now, but to your mind, relaxing your mind. And how do you relax your body? If there's anything tight there, you loosen up. If my belt is tight, I loosen it. If there's a pressure somewhere, I move so the pressure is relieved. If anything is stretched, I loosen the ends so it's not stretched anymore. And that's exactly the same way you relax your mind. Are there any pressures in your mind right now? Those are like worries or fears or, you know, obsessions which you may have. You're angry at someone, or you know, you didn't get enough breakfast this morning, or the place is too noisy. Those are little hard pieces of pain in your mind, not in your body, but in your mind. So you've got to learn how to relax those. And how you relax those is stopping fighting the world. People are noisy. The food is never perfect. The place is never the right temperature. Nothing is ever perfect or right. So by having these hard knots of pain, you are fighting battles which you will never ever win. So just learn how to open up to the noisy world of your cottage. I'm sure that already somebody turned the kettle on first thing this morning while you were in your sleep. Somebody banged the door. Somebody made a noise. Somebody dropped a spoon or something. I'm sure that happened. And instead of having a hard knot of pain in your mind, you open up, relax. Oh, that's just what people are like. Oh, I'm the same. I probably dropped a spoon as well this morning. Maybe I made a noise. Maybe I coughed. And when you soften the edges of the pain, the whole pain tends to expand, dissipate, and vanish. So in the same way that you can relax hard knots of pain in your body with kindness, just opening the door of your heart to whatever that is, you'll find the hard knots of pain in your mind vanish. You haven't got obsessions about uncomfortable, unpleasant experiences in the past. You're letting go of the past. Why can't you let go of the past? Because it's just too hard, too solid. There's too much guilt, anger, too much stuff you want to figure out and work out in the past. It's just too hard and heavy for you to let go. So if you soften it first of all, you relax the past, then it becomes easier to let go. Just like if you relax your body, then it's easy to ignore it as you watch the mind. So relax your past, first of all. And then relax your future. All of these fears and anxieties we have, they're hard knots of pain located in the mental future. And how do we deal with those? Soften them. You're all going to die anyway, so what? If you have cancer, you just get out there earlier. You don't have to suffer with the old people's home. Wonderful. If you have Other stuff you're worried about. You're worried about your relationship. Your husband is having an affair. You were away for 9 days, remember? I wonder what he's up to. Or she's up to, it works both ways. And then it's so wonderful. Here she has an affair. My wife has an affair and she's, I love her so much. I just want her to be happy. If she's having this wonderful affair with somebody else, that makes me so happy to know that she's having a good time. Or whatever. And if it's the end, you're about to get divorced. Wonderful. Now I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to. I haven't got this wife nagging me. Na, 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 na. I am free. I can even become a monk or a nun. Woohoo. So look, always you can find a positive spin on anything. And that turns the hard fears and anxieties of the future into something much softer, much more peaceful, less hard, so it's easier to let it go. If you don't relax the future, first of all, it's hard to let it go. If you don't relax the past, again, you can't let that go. You can say, yeah, I'm going to let it go. And it keeps coming back up again. Just say, okay, I'm sitting in my meditation posture, I'm going to let the body go. Breathing in, breathing out, oh, my knee hurts, oh, my bottom aches. It keeps coming up again because you haven't prepared yourself. So learn how to relax the past, first of all. Relax the future. And have you seen how to do it? You know, I've given all the cues already, which is being kind to the past, being kind to the future. Mindfulness and kindness. So somebody has really hurt you. Be kind to that person. They must have been crazy that day they hurt you. Temporary insanity, that's all it was. You know that story of the past about the guy who bought the eggs in the market? I'm sure you've heard all that stories before. He went to buy some eggs in the market for his dear old wife. And when he went to the market, this guy came along and abused him terribly. Gave him all sorts of bad names and curses. And I say, he mentioned one of my favorite curses. I mentioned this in Melbourne last Monday. One of my favorite curses, if ever you want to curse anybody, the worst curse in the Middle East is, may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits. That has style. So if you want to go back to work and upset somebody, especially if they are from the Middle East, just say, ooh, may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits. But I mean, he gave all this like curses and bad words to this person. Actually, somebody told me there was even a worse curse than that. And this was actually very wise. It just showed how Buddhism had infiltrated that Middle East, you know, through the silk trade many years ago. They said the worst thing you could wish upon anybody, may you get everything you want as soon as you want it. That was the worst curse in the world. Now that showed somebody understood the nature of life. If as soon as you wanted something, you got it straight away. You wanted something else, you got it straight away. The whole meaning of your life, for most people, which is striving and struggling and working for things, would totally disappear. You have the suffering, and it is suffering, of the super rich. As soon as they want something, it's given to them. Interesting to contemplate why that is suffering, and why that was one of the worst curses in the whole world, where you get everything you want as soon as you want it. Da, da, da. Anyway, going back to this guy was cursed with all sorts of bad curses, and he was so upset, he went home. And when he went home, banged the door, you're home early, darling. Yeah, don't ever send me to that stupid market again. People are just so uncouth, uncivilized. I didn't even know this guy, and he said all these terrible words to me. He abused me, cursed me, in public as well. I didn't even know the fellow. I've done nothing, and he treats me like this. You know what it's like when you get upset. And when he calmed down a little bit, the wife asked him, "What was going on? What happened?" And when he described what had occurred, his wife said, "Oh, it's him. That guy, that young man, had an accident when he was young. He fell on his head. He has brain damage. That's why he can't get a job. He'll never go to school. He will never find a wife to share his life with. He's crazy. And he sometimes curses me, curses other people. We know that. He's just mad, that's all. That's why we don't bother about it." And as soon as he realized he had been cursed by a crazy man, all his anger vanished. How can you be angry at being cursed by someone who's out of their mind, who's brain damaged? And so as soon as his wife saw that he'd calmed down, she told him, "Darling, I still need those eggs." So he said, "Okay." And he went back to the market again. The boy cursed him again, but this time it didn't matter at all, because he realized this guy was crazy. And the moral of that story is this. If you ever go home from work and your wife starts scolding you, don't get angry back. Just assume she's got brain damage. Temporary insanity. And the same goes with guys as well, okay? It's true. And the Buddha said, anyone who gets angry, that's temporary insanity. So what that does is you're using this beautiful wisdom and kindness. Someone has hurt you, said something mean and nasty to you. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They must have temporary brain damage today. So don't get angry back. And then you're softening the past. So it's much easier to let it go. And when so many things go wrong, sometimes we're so stiff with the demands we have for our future. It has to be like this. I planned it. I worked so hard for it. And now you're spoiling it all. Never have plans made out of concrete. Only rubber. So you can bend them all the way around. And that means you can always adapt every second to a new possibility. So you don't have to come here, say, 8 o'clock. Ajahn Brahm's not here. Why is he not here? We're supposed to have a talk at 8 o'clock. This is not right. I'm going to complain to Bianca. I'm going to ask for my money back. You are allowed during this retreat to ask for your money back. You won't get it back, but you are allowed to ask. But be sort of soft and gentle for the future. If it doesn't go the way you wanted to, so what? If you didn't sleep as much last night as you expected to, so what? You can have a sleep during the talk. It's true, you know. I don't know why it is, but many, and this is absolutely 100% accurate. I go overseas, interstate a lot. I don't know how many people have told me the only way they can get to sleep at night is to put on one of my talks beforehand. And then they fall asleep. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I still haven't figured it out yet. But at least it works, so good on you. So, don't have such hard and fast demands of the future. Soften it. Be kind to the future. Sometimes you can understand sort of how to be kind to people. But to get this beautiful kindness and put it in areas where people don't expect to put kindness to. Have you put kindness to your cushion yet? Or to your chair? Be kind to it. You'll find just with that attitude it gets softer. Your bed? You know, say, "Thank you, bed, for looking after me last night." Be kind to it. And you find you have a better night's sleep. Kindness relaxes everything. It changes the relationship you have towards things. And makes it just far more fun, peaceful, relaxing. Again, Quite recently, I've been trying to give talks to try and overcome this materialistic attitude we have, not just in consumerism, but in our philosophy as well. Always saying that our world, our life, our body, our being is all stuff. We are just a brain, and this consciousness and stuff is always some epiphenomena of the brain. Consciousness, that's just a secondary aspect of life. It's not primary. It just comes out of the activities of the, you know, the human body. Love, just that's a chemical reaction, you know, with another human being. Kindness, that is just something we've learned over evolution because it gives us an advantage in survival. But that type of stuff, I'm just really almost like a mission against that. There's much more to this life than just stuff. So I love telling stories. And if you have any more stories to tell me about the interaction of human beings and machines, especially using kindness. And my classic story, which I was telling again in Melbourne, and they love this, and they got some other stories as a result. The man who was here, an Anagarika for 1 year, a German guy who went back to Hamburg to university. And he wrote to me afterwards. I saw him a year later and I asked him, was the story you told me absolutely true? And he said, yeah, it was. It happened. Weird, but it was true. The first day he was on campus at the university, he passed the ATM machine. And the ATM machine made a noise as he went past. He described it as a gurgling noise. That's all. And he interpreted that as the ATM welcoming him onto campus. So every time he passed that ATM, he gave it kindness. He said, Guten Morgen. He treated it with respect as if it was a being. And after 6, 8, 9 months, I forget how long, he was having his lunch on a bench about 5, 10 meters, you know, in front of the ATM machine, facing it. And after about 15 minutes having his lunch, the ATM machine emitted the same gurgling sound as it did when he first went onto campus. He looked up from his lunch to see his ATM machine, and then to see a 20 euro note come out from the slot. No one had been close to it in 15, 20 minutes. And a 20 euro note came out. No one had pressed any buttons or put in any credit cards. It just came out after emitting the gurgle. And he went up to it, took out the 20 euro note, waved around, does this belong to anybody? Of course, no one claimed it. Of course it wouldn't. It was his. The ATM machine was responding to his wonderful kindness. Now, that is absolutely true. No explanation at all, except he was so kind to that machine, the machine was kind to him. So the moral of that story is, if ever you're short of cash, nice ATM machine, you know, really nice. May your electricity never run out. May you always have lots of stuff there in this. May people never bang or swear at you. It actually works. And so you connect other stories. There are cars which don't work. One person told me that in their office, the photocopier was not working. And they put a sign on it, out of order, until the technician could come and fix it. But as it happened, now, the bit of sticky tape they stuck the piece of the notice out of order on loosened off, and the notice fell down behind the photocopier. So this guy came along, and he was always kind to this photocopier, you know, talking to it, stroking it. He said, you know, people thought I was crazy doing this, but, you know, that was his nature to do that. And he had some photocopying, so he put it in. It worked perfectly for him. Because he didn't know it was out of order. And when he went back to his desk, and they said, where do you get that photocopy? And, oh, from the photocopy. You couldn't, it's out of order. No, it worked. So the other guy went up there to try it, and it didn't work. It would only work for him, simply because he was kind to it. And people have told me that even with their car. Their car wasn't working. And they got outside and they were kind to it and it started again. It's amazing how often that works on machines which aren't supposed to work. And of course, the even bigger story, here we go, this has nothing to do with meditation. Well, so it's got something to do with meditation, but only just by the way. I like telling stories and they're much more fun than lecturing you all morning. So, one of the Thai forest monks, he was visiting United States, and when one of our monks, Ajahn Pasala, his name was, he met him at San Francisco Airport, and welcoming him, you know, to United States, he just asked to see his passport to check his visa was okay. Because Homeland Security, you've got to be very careful. Sometimes they don't stamp your visa properly. They'll just give you 3 days instead of 3 weeks. And, you know, you've got to be responsible. And so, he looked at the visa and just could not believe his eyes. This Thai monk, this old Thai monk, with no connections to any, no family connections at all, in his passport, this old Thai monk had a diplomatic visa with no expiry date for as long as he lived to come and go into the United States whenever he wanted. Now, a diplomatic visa means you go through the diplomatic channels. You don't have to queue up. You usually don't get searched or whatever. And how on earth does a Thai, old-Thai monk get a visa like that? He asked him. And this is a true story. It happened. NASA, their headquarters in Houston, were installing a mainframe computer system worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, state of the art, the big number cruncher for the whole of NASA. Having installed it, they could not get it to work. All the experts throughout the whole of North America were flown immediately first class because every moment, every hour that computer was down was costing them millions. The best experts from throughout North America could not find out what the problem was and solve it. And they were really getting so frustrated that when one of the engineers, who just happened to be a Thai Buddhist, suggested, if we can't fix it, perhaps it might be something supernatural. And it doesn't cost us anything because I know a monk who can fix this. He happens to be in the Thai temple in Houston right now. And monks are cheap. Not like these experts who charge $1,000 an hour. Well, we charge a cup of tea and we'll do anything. So nothing to lose. They got the clearance for him, took him into the mainframe computer room. What did he do? A little bit of chanting and some meditation. And his meditation, I know that monk, is loving kindness. And he blasted that machine with loving kindness. And when he came out of his meditation, no joke, the machine worked perfectly. No problem at all. We know that's true because out of gratitude, they gave him this visa. Impossible to get unless you're some ambassador or some Nelson Mandela or something. He got this visa out of gratitude and also out of self-concern, because just in case they had trouble again, they wanted this monk to come immediately without having to apply for a visa to fix their computer again. And this is what happens. Kindness can actually solve these problems in computers and get 20 bucks, 20 euros, more than bucks, out of ATM machines. You can get photocopiers to work. So how can it, you can obviously, it softens your body and gets your body to work nicely and smoothly. And it softens the past and softens the future. So that the future and the past, just like your body, is not causing a problem anymore. You don't have to go fixing the computer anymore. You don't have to worry about calling the tech guy to fix a photocopy. It works. So you have no more business in the future and in the past. It's softened. And then you can let it go. And that becomes this important stage in the meditation. At last you can be here in this present moment. Instead of having all this stuff in the past and the future just calling you, dragging you, making you so disturbed as it claims your attention. I have to figure this out. It's too hard. You can't let it go. I have to be concerned about this. It's important what's going to happen to me in the future. No, when you soften it, it's easy to let it go. Then you come into the present moment. That's the only place where mindfulness lives. You all heard about mindfulness. It's such a huge word in the Western world. Buddhism has started to infiltrate everywhere. Soon we'll find that Jesus practiced mindfulness on the cross. I don't care how people make use of these words as long as they use them. But what is the mindfulness? One definition of mindfulness, which is so important, is it only exists in the present moment. It's what's happening now. That's where mindfulness lives. But it's not enough, as I keep on saying. You have to have the kindness, have kindfulness. So if you are in the past, be kind to the past, be kind to the future until it vanishes. So it's easy to let go. Now when you come to the present moment, please don't just be mindful of what's happening now, because if you're just mindful of what's happening now, you go wandering off again. You know why again? Because the present moment at first is not all that pleasant, nor that interesting, it's boring. You know, just watch another breath. How many breaths do I have to watch? You know, 9 more days of watching my breath. Oh God, what have I got myself in for? Be kind to the moment. Sometimes people wonder, what is kindness? If you've got a dog or a cat, and you come back home, and the dog or the cat's waiting for you, jumps all over you, licks you, or meows, it's giving you an indication of what kindness is. If you've got a little kid who runs up to you and gives you a big hug, or smiles at you, that's kindness. You can understand what this kindness is. See if you can take that kindness and give it to this present moment. Be kind to it. I like to say that opening the door of your heart to this moment, totally, which is respecting it. To open the door of your heart to this moment is not criticizing, you're not judging it, not asking anything from it at all. Just allowing it to be. So respect this moment. I don't care what it is. You may be painful, you may be tired, you may be dull. Please respect dullness and don't consider it to be a second-class mental state which you have to get rid of to get the real stuff. Even if you are restless, don't sort of demean restlessness. It's there for a reason. It's cause and effect. I don't know why my mind is restless, but I am going to respect it. If you do things like that, you're practicing kindness. Loving kindness respects everything. Now, sometimes in the story of the Buddha, you know, the Buddha respected that mad elephant who was going to kill him. You know, the whole story I'll probably mention later on, but a mad elephant, drunk, about to kill the Buddha, and the Buddha said something like, "Elephant, you may crush me with your feet. You may take me up with your trunk and smash me against the wall, breaking every bone in my body. You can do whatever you want, but the door of my heart will always be open to you, elephant, no matter what. I'd always love you unconditionally, no matter what you say or do." And with that sincere, real kindness, the elephant just stopped in front of the Buddha, and then 1 second later the Buddha was just stroking his trunk. There, Nalagiri, it's okay, Nalagiri. That is brilliant metaphor for meditation. Just give kindness and respect to this moment. And your restless mind, charging all over the place, soon, because if you do it properly, within seconds, becomes so still through that type of respect. Because what you're doing, because you're being kindful to this moment, the moment settles down. Those of you who have friends, I'll tell you this simile every time, but it's a good simile. The coffee shop simile. Suppose, now not this afternoon, but suppose when you go back home, you receive a call from a friend saying, "Are you free this afternoon?" You say, "Yes, maybe." And she says, "Oh, great. I want you to invite you to a coffee shop. Not the coffee shop you keep talking about, but my coffee shop. And I want to show you a short black. I know you always like your lattes, always on about lattes, but you're going to have short black because that's what I like. And I know you always like to sit out the front, you know, on the street, but I don't like that at all. We're going to sit in the back. We're not going to have one of your chocolate muffins. You're going to have a biscuit because that's what I like to eat, biscuits. And we're not going to talk about your stupid Buddhism. We're going to talk about something more important, politics, the state of the economy, which is really important and desperately important for the future of our world. And we're going to sit there for an hour and a half, because that's how much time I have. I know you always like to leave early, but 1 hour and a half, you're going to sit there." Now, if someone invites you out like that, what are you going to do? You're going to think quickly of any excuse to get out of going with such a control freak. So, it slipped my arm terribly, so I have to go to the dentist this afternoon. Maybe some other time. And then, a couple of minutes later, you get another call from another friend who says, "How you feel this afternoon?" You say, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry, I'm going to go to the dentist." "Oh, that's a shame, because, you know, you've always been talking about this coffee shop you keep raving on about. You know, I'd like to go there. And these lattes, you like at that coffee shop. I don't usually like lattes, but you speak so highly of them. I was really interested in having one." And you go on about these chocolate chip muffins over there, which, you know, are just to die for. They must be worth something if you like them so much. So I wanted to try one. And, you know, you always like sitting at the front. "I've never done that before. I want to try sitting at the front." And you've always been talking about this Buddhism business. You know, actually, I'm quite interested. I'd like to know something about it. Now, if they talked to you like that, what would you say? You say, "Just give me a moment, I'll cancel the dentist appointment. I'm going to go." And you go there. You don't just spend an hour and a half, you spend 3 or 4 hours over there. Time just flows. Why? Because you're with someone who's being kind to you and respectful, not being a control freak. Now that simile explains restlessness. If you tell your mind, "Right, we're going to meditate for 1 hour, and we're going to watch the breath. Not what you want to watch, we're going to watch the breath, okay? And we're not going to go thinking about all that stuff you'd like to be thinking about, and you're going to be perfectly still, you're not going to go sleepy, you're going to be straight, sitting perfectly still and silent, without moving, okay." If you treat your mind like that, of course your mind gets dull. Of course it goes thinking of the past and the future. Anything to get away from you, you control freak. That is the cause of restlessness. But if you're kind to your mind, "Hey mind, what do you want to do? Hey mind, just, are you happy here? If you want to go off, then fine, it's okay with me." With that type of kindness to the present moment, you find it stays with you much longer than you've ever stayed with this moment before. Why? Because you built a good relationship between you and this moment. A relationship of respect and kindness. That's why it stays. So having being kind to the past and the future so you can let it go. Then you have to continue being kind to this moment called now. It's kindfulness all the way. And if you can understand what I mean by kindness to this moment, you find present moment awareness is so easy to do throughout the whole day. And this is one of the reasons why mindfulness of the moment, yes, it's important when you're sitting on the cushion or you're doing the walking meditation, but it's also something you can do every minute of the day. When you go to the toilet, it's just one plop at a time. You're just in this moment. You're not worrying about, oh, I've only got a few minutes, I've got to get the rest out quickly. That makes you really sick. Don't do that. You can take your time, be mindful. That's why you've all got your own ensuite. You can take as much time as you like. There's no cues for you, especially you old ones. Sit there and just enjoy just being in the moment. When you're eating, please understand the way to eat on a meditation retreat. Because the wrong way to eat, first of all, you can see people sitting next to you, they have some food in their mouth which they are chewing. They got some more food on their fork or spoon waiting in line. And they've got another heap piled up, that's number three. And they're looking for what's going to be number four going in their mouth. They're three or four mouthfuls ahead of themselves. You get the point? If you are thinking so far ahead, you're not enjoying and being aware of the food which you're chewing in your mouth right now. No wonder you don't enjoy your food as much as you could. No wonder people get digestive problems. If you're putting awareness in the food in front of your mouth right now, all the digestive juices are secreted in large amounts. Now, if you are paying attention to the beautiful taste of the food, more saliva comes out. There's more stuff to digest everything. But if you're watching a movie on TV, not so much saliva comes out because you're not paying attention, let alone the bile and other stuff which has to come out to digest your food inside. So that's one of the reasons. So one spoon at a time. You're being in this moment, you're being kind to this moment. And you finally become more aware of the sounds and the feelings in this retreat. Now later on, during this retreat, your awareness will get very strong. You'll be able to hear all the sounds of the birds. You'll be able to notice them more. You'll be able to feel the wind, you know, on your cheeks. You'll be able to notice the heat from the sun. You're alive, you're aware. That's beautiful. You're becoming more in this moment, more kind, and this present moment is beginning to smile back at you, metaphorically. The present moment becomes a very happy and peaceful place to be. And this is not just what you do here sitting on the floor. It's what you do when you walk out of here. When you walk out of this place, I don't know where you may be going to. You may be going to the kitchen to have a cup of water. What's happening on the way? There's something which I talked about in a lecture at Dhammaloka many years ago called the importance of the in-between moments of life. You know, we have important things in our day. But most of our day is spent having completed one appointment on the way to somewhere else. Whether left home in the morning and on the way to work. On the way from one office to another office. On the way from your office to the lunch bar. So many in-between moments of life we waste. And here I'm asking you to put more attention and effort in those in-between moments. You've finished the sitting and you're walking back to your room. That's an in-between moment. Be there. An opportunity for practicing kindfulness in these moments. So you are literally enjoying the walk, experiencing the feelings in your feet, again the sounds of people rushing past you. Experience and enjoy the in-between moments. You finish the toilet and you're just walking somewhere else. Again, in-between moments of life. Don't waste them. Don't ignore them. Give those kindfulness and you wake up. You're much more in the present moment as you're kind to this moment. And once you develop that kindness to the present moment, then you'll find all this other stuff about meditation, which I haven't said at all yet, comes easily and naturally. Sometimes people say, well, when are you going to start talking about meditation, Ajahn Brahm? This is the basics of it. Just being in this present moment and being kind in this moment. Because you'll find, again, get those foundations really strong. Everything else becomes so easy. People go on retreats a long time and they say, well, I can't even watch the breath for 10 breaths in a row. Why? It's because you didn't do the foundation. You ran forward too fast. And that's our problems, especially as Westerners or Asians even, for places like Korea. We're just so highly motivated. We want to finish it, this retreat. We want to get there fast. Get it out of the way. Going so fast means you never get anywhere. So please, go slowly. If there's not much time, I must go slowly, is a great saying. So go slowly, go carefully. Try and be in this moment. And then you are being here with kindness and awareness. And as you develop that kindness and awareness to whatever you experience, every moment, somebody rushes in front of you, they take your shoes instead of their own shoes. Who cares? It's just shoes, that's all. I went to go and visit my mother before she passed away. She had Alzheimer's disease. And when I went to see her with my brother remarked, when she saw my mum, she said, that's not our mother's dress. She's wearing somebody else's dress. And then he checked himself and said, oh yeah, this happens all the time. Because when you have got Alzheimer's disease, you've got no idea of who owns what. And so if you see a nice dress you like, you just wear it. So another lady was wearing my mother's dress. She was wearing somebody else's dress. That was really cute. If only we can do that. With no sense of, this is mine, keep off. She had no sense of ownership. You know, that's really close to enlightenment, sort of. So that's my other. If any people don't like being vegetarians on this retreat, I've got this brilliant way of being able to eat whatever you want and still calling yourself a vegetarian. This is my trick. So you get a cow, but before you kill the cow, you give it a lobotomy. So once a cow has had a lobotomy, it's a vegetable. Yeah. And then if you eat it, you're a vegetarian. That's only a joke. Please don't crucify me for that. Anyway, monks thinking weird ways. But anyway, and where was I going? I was going with being the present moment, being kind. And that way, you've got a really good foundation. Seeing many people struggling to do things like that. Many people do things like breath meditation. If you go to the breath too soon, you can't maintain it because you go too fast, only with too much effort. So please, this first day here, do as much present moment awareness as you possibly can. With kindness, kindfulness in the present moment. Just do that much. Sometimes the other meditation objects, whether it's metta or the breath, just comes out naturally. If it does, fine, let it flow. Don't sort of control this meditation process. But please put all the emphasis in present moment awareness. And so your sitting meditation, if you're walking meditation in there, again, try and be in the present moment. As I say, one of the great advantages of walking meditation, you start at one end of the walking path, you walk to the other end, you turn around, you come back again. That's how to do walking meditation. Easy, isn't it? But are we supposed to do something more? No, less is more. To start one end, walk to the other end, and walk back again. See if you can do that. What's the point of it? Why do things have to have points? Just do it. But what's the meaning of it? There is no meaning. Why does it have to have a meaning all the time? Why don't do something for just the sake of walking with no meaning at all? But be in the present moment. Stop thinking about things. The nice thing about walking meditation is you always end up where you started. Now that is very profound. So you start at one end, you walk over there, you walk back again. You end up where you began. Just like life. This young lady, how old are you now? 80 something. She started off with no hair. Now she's got no hair again. You start off with no teeth. You end up with no teeth. You start off wetting your pants. You end up wetting your pants. Welcome to life, the circle. You begin life knowing nothing. Then you end life not remembering anything as well. There's something really nice about that. All this stuff which you think you own, all your intelligence, all your knowledge, it's already going day by day. You're forgetting more. You're losing it. Has anyone ever said that to you? You're losing it. And what's your response? Nah, I'm not. If you say that to me, I'll say, sadhu, thank you so much. I'm losing my attachments. I'm losing my possessions. I'm losing. I've been losing it for the last almost 40 years, ever since I became a monk. I lost all my possessions, lost all my girlfriends, lost all my money, lost everything. So be a loser. Like me. So that's also, you like turning things around when people come and say, you're a monk, you loser. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You understand Buddhism. We're here to lose things, not to gain things. That goes against the way of life. You're trying to walk in meditation to gain something. No, you're trying to lose things. You're meditating, trying to get some experience. No, trying to lose all your desires. That's what you're trying to do, to be a loser. And if you do happen to become enlightened, then what do you become? The biggest loser. So welcome. You lost all your attachments, everything. Great, brilliant. So this is what we're doing. Just be in this moment. You're losing the past. You're losing the future. You're so free. So see, you can do that. See how free you can be. The past and the future are prisons. You spend too many years there. Now you've got parole. You've got get out of jail free card for the 9 days. You've got work release or whatever they call it when you get out of jail just for a short time. Enjoy it. Don't go back into that past or the future. Just stay here and just be. See if you can make that the focus of today. Whatever's happening today. Remember, present moment. Kindness. If the past and future does come up, be kind to it, soften it, and only then is it easy to let it go. So that's this morning's talk. Any questions about it, first of all? Okay, any questions, you can put it in the box over in the lobby area here. And in the meantime, It's 2 hours now. You can walk, you can sit. For those of you who are still tired, you can try meditating flat out. Flat out meditation. So just be kind to yourself for the rest of the day. A little bit of meditation. If you feel like meditating, meditate. If you want to do some walking meditation, walking meditation. Having a cup of tea, just sitting, enjoying the place. If you need a nap, a rest, please take one. So be kind to yourself today. And just see if you can get your sleep deficit reduced. Kind to the past, kind to the future. So all disappears. So you can just come into this present moment and enjoy being here. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You have to have the three he's at the end as well. Okay, have a happy day.